Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer turned The Wizard of Oz into a screen classic and a lovely little singer into a star. One of the most talented stars of Hollywood, Judy Garland.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where
hey everyone, this is Mindy. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next in our Judy Garland series is her appearance on The Charlie McCarthy Show on September 7th, 1941. I was thrilled to see this pop up in the rotation solely because I was familiar with this show long before I ever got into the Old Time Radio game. So finally, I had my moment of not being completely blind as to what I was about to listen to. And actually, when this aired, it was still called the Chase and Sanborn Hour. That was the sponsor. So it began in May 1937. By December of 1939, I was astounded to read that they had a third of the national listening audience. That's an enormous rise to popularity. And something I thought was funny was the sponsors discovered at this time that the audiences strayed from the show when Charlie wasn't being featured. And I guess what they had done at this point was there would be a total of maybe 15 minutes with Charlie, and they were broken up into two segments. In between those segments, the audience would drift away to, you know, mix drinks, listen to other shows even, Scandal, through the sponsors. This was all very disconcerting. So they retooled everything. They revised it to 30 minutes so they could focus the majority of the time on Charlie. And they repackaged it as the Chase and Sanborn program. And that lasted for years. And then in 1947, it was rechristened the Charlie McCarthy Show, which I think is what it's commonly referred to and known as now. And then in 1955 and 56, they revised it again and called it the new Edgar Bergen Hour. That didn't really last too long. But we're talking about a span of 20 years this show was on. And it was so iconic, so much so, that Charlie is sitting in the Smithsonian as we speak. I think that's a very good place for him, probably not far down from those ruby slippers we all know so well. And but I was actually aware of this show just because I was a fan of Murphy Brown, the show that starred Candace Bergen, Edgar Bergen's daughter. So just watching her interviews and things like that, I, you know, growing up, and you know, my mom was aware of it too, so I had a little bit of a background on this. Finally Judy's on here, and she is 19 years old. She's singing two songs. One's called Daddy, which, personal confession, absolutely chills me when people refer to their paramours as Daddy. I think it's bizarre. So no offense if that's your bag, that's your business. But for me, that alone made me kind of just wish the song would hurry up and end. But then there was another one called Things That I Love, and I have not found any reference to this song except for this program that you're about to listen to. So I think it might be rare. Buck has great skill in this area of unearthing rare things, so it may pop up later on. But the internet, which never lies, tells me that there really wasn't a whole lot of, I don't know if it's interest or a whole lot of knowledge about this song. Everything pointed back to this, so enjoy that rare gem. And then in April of 1941, so a few months before this broadcast, Ziegfeld Girl was released, and this stars Judy Garland with Lana Turner, James Stewart, and Hedy Lamarr, so an exceptionally good-looking cast. And this was a very glamorized Judy Garland. Not entirely a new concept at this point, but definitely much more so than she was allowed to be in the past. So they are finally acknowledging, they being MGM, finally acknowledging that she is a grown woman and ready to be seen as such. So much so that in July of 1941, she marries composer David Rose, who she had known for a few years. Reading about him was actually kind of nice because he seemed to be an unassuming individual who cared very much for her. And they seemed to have a healthy, normal marriage in the beginning. I read some interviews that he did where he said that they'd play tennis, they'd swim, they'd bowl, which amused me because it's one of my favorite things. Something I just adored was because he apparently taught her how to shoot. They would go out into a valley near their home with targets and guns, and he said she was a lefty, but she was good. She was very good. Not as good as him. He was very quick to point that out because it was the 40s and, you know, girls in boys' minds, girls could not be as good. He was also very successful in composing music for television, and he did it under the pseudonym Ray Llewellyn. And I'm not sure I'm saying that right. There's a lot of L's here, so it could be that I'm saying it wrong. But he composed for several shows. The three that interested me the most were Highway to Heaven, Bonanza, and Little House on the Prairie. The Michael Landon trifecta. I love all of these shows. I grew up watching reruns of all of them. Little House on the Prairie being my absolute favorite. So I thought that was fun to have that connection. I had no idea. So, and he won 4 Emmys in his career doing that. So a very interesting guy, seemed like a sweet man and really cared for Judy. This is only 15 minutes. We're not getting the full program. So I hope you enjoy this pairing of two icons, Judy Garland and Charlie McCarthy.
The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the blend that's friendship in a cup, present Edgar Bergen, Ray Noble and his orchestra, the stars of Hold That Ghost, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, our guest, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Judy Garland, and...
There's a little lad with freckles on his nose, good at being bad no matter where he goes. You wonder who this rascal is, well, who do you suppose?
Yes, that perky, percolating prodigy, Charlie McCarthy.
Well, thank you, chums, thank you. And on behalf of dear old Chase and good old Sanborn, welcome back. You know, it's amazing how getting back to work changes Bergen. No, yeah. From a drip to a regular grind. Oh,
well, that's very flattering, Charlie. But aren't you going to thank Ray Noble for that song?
Oh, of course. Mr. Noble, you are the noblest noble of them all. Thanks for the song.
Oh, that's all right, Charles. Huh? It was really nothing.
Well, I know that's true, but thanks anyway.
I say, Charles, how did you spend your vacation?
Well, Bergen took me on a pack trip up in the great Northwest. Mm-hmm. I rode a mule for 3 days.
Riding on a mule must be rather wearing, isn't it?
Yeah, please, Mr. Noble. My blister and I, we don't talk about that.
Of course, yes, sir.
How about you, Judy, me darling Garland? Did you have a nice summer?
Oh, I had lots of fun, Charlie. Uh-huh. I spent most of my time making the picture Babes on Broadway with Mickey Rooney.
Did you? Oh. Mickey Rooney. Never heard of the guy. Some flash in the pan, no doubt.
Oh, now, come, Charlie. Don't tell me you're still jealous of Mickey.
No, I know how you can prevent it, though.
How?
Well, you know that song you're going to sing?
Yeah.
Why don't you make it a love song special for me?
Well... All right, Charlie. We'll make it a love song, especially for you.
Just think, special for me. Woo! Lately hears about that. I hope Rooney is Berlin.
Hey, Daddy, I want a diamond ring, bracelets, everything. Daddy, you ought to get the best for me. Sables, clothes with New York labels. Daddy, you ought to get the best for me. Here's an amazing revelation with a bit of stimulation. I'd be a great sensation. I'd be your inspiration. Daddy, I want a brand new car, champagne, caviar. Hey, Daddy, you ought to get the best for me. I even went to school, now ain't that swell for you? I learned the alphabet so I could spell for you. D is for the dog, you're gonna buy me a pedigree dog that can talk. A is for that most expensive automobile. You really can't expect me to walk. D is for that 14-carat diamond. And Y is for that ocean-going yacht. Gather them together, they spell Daddy. The only Daddy Waddy that I've got. He is not a thing of beauty, but he seems to know his duty. And here I'm singing songs to the guy my heart belongs to. Caviar. Hey, Daddy, Daddy, you've been more than a daddy to me.
Oh, Judy, I'll be your daddy. You've come to the right man. You know, Judy, I think I can eke out a sable or a mink coat for you.
Oh, do you really, Charlie?
Yeah.
Now, Judy, I think Charlie is swept away with it all. Young man, do you realize that a mink coat costs $3,000?
Yeah?
Yes.
$3,000,
yes.
Let's see, $3,000, 75 cents a week, multiply by 7, carry 6, pick up sticks, beat me a burger, and eat to the mink.
What are you doing, Charlie?
I'm trying to figure out how to get you that coat, Judy. I hope you'll forgive me for counting on the fingers.
Well, of course, but have you got enough money yet?
No, I haven't even got enough fingers, either. See, divide by 2us, carry 4us, eeny, meeny, miny, morris. Would you help me out a little, Judy, here?
Well,
I'm afraid Judy has other plans at the moment, Charlie.
Yeah?
Yes, she's going to sing The Things I Love.
The things she loves?
That's
right.
Right,
Charlie.
I hope I'm one of those things.
Foolish and childish they may be, my heart takes wings over the things I love. The glow of sunset in the summer skies, the golden flicker of the fireflies, the gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. A silver moonbeam peeping through the trees, a bed of tulips nodding in the breeze, the look you give in answer to my pleas. These are the things I love. Oh, once I thought that life was just a winter thing. My heart was cold, and then you came to me like a breath of spring. You turned the silver snow to gold. A robin serenade when day is through. The babbling brook beside our rendezvous. Your sweet voice whispering, darling,
Judy, that did it. Oh, that really did it, Judy. It was so beautiful, it inspired me.
Inspired you to what, Charlie?
It inspired me to figure out a way to get you that mink coat. It really did.
Oh.
I can see you wearing it now, Judy.
Oh, but Charlie, if I wore a mink coat, I'd feel extravagant.
Yeah, but ain't it a lovely feeling, though? Well, why don't you treat your chassis to something classy?
Oh.
Make your torso even more so.
Oh. Charlie, you know you can't afford it, so just forget about it.
Well, now, but I've got a way figured out. Your mink coat will cost you practically nothing, Judy.
Mm-hmm. How much is practically nothing, Charlie?
Well, it's the price of two minks. You see, I got a scheme. You see, we'll open up a sort of a minkateria. And we have to do is treat them nice, and pretty soon word gets around and relatives move in. Patter a little feet and that sort of thing.
Oh, I see. You raised the little baby minks. Is that it?
That's the idea, yeah, sure.
Good.
And pretty soon, you know, the little ones are old enough to vote and... Well, that's life. That's his life. In 3 years, there's your fur coat.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You mean you have the furs?
Well, sure, you have the furs, sure.
Yeah, but you need more than that for a coat.
Yeah?
What about the lining?
If the minks can wear it without lining, so can you.
We can do.
Yeah.
We can get a pair of silkworms and raise our own lining.
Now you're talking.
Yes.
And if you want a cotton lining, you get a couple of boll weevils.
Yeah, but then there's the items of buttons.
Yeah?
Will we have real mink buttons?
Now, don't be ridiculous. Minks don't have buttons.
You know, I'm afraid the whole idea is too expensive.
Yeah.
How about San Fernando Sable?
San Fernando Sable? What's that?
Gopher.
Oh.
Yeah. Or how about raising a pair of imitation seals?
No, I don't care for that. I could show you something very interesting in a mole. Of course, not in front of all these people.
I think we'd better stick to mink.
Yeah.
Providing you know something about raising them.
Well, it's simple. All you do is feed them and we'll keep them in Bergen's backyard.
Uh-huh. Well, isn't the fur better if you raise them in a cold climate?
Well, yes, it is. But you see, on hot days, I can sit and fan them. You get the same results.
Yeah, you could feed them sherbet, too.
Yes, that's
cool and light.
Yes, it's nice after lunch thing.
Yes.
Oh, it'll be fun, Rudy. Watch it, baby. Still early in the season. Got to go back to reading again.
But wait a minute. Who's going to buy the pair of minks?
Oh, well, how about you, Judy?
How about Bergen?
You'll ask him. He might trust you.
Wait a minute. What'll we offer him for his investment?
Oh, let's see. I'll tell you. If he'll give us the two minks, we'll grow him a fur collar for his overcoat. That'll get him.
Oh, yeah. But aren't fur coats on men's... aren't fur collars on men's overcoats a little out of date? No.
Just so we get off in time. I'll tell you. It'll go well with Bergen's high-button shoes, you know. Go on, work on it.
Shall I?
Sure, go ahead,
all
try.
All right, all right. Oh, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, Judy.
This will get him.
Yeah.
Mr. Bergen, Charlie and I have an idea to grow mink coats in your backyard.
Is that so?
Uh-huh. And in a few years, I'll have a coat and you'll have a fur collar.
I see.
That is, if you furnish the minks.
And if you furnish the backyard.
I see it. Well, now, that's very interesting, and I'd like to help you kids out, but I think we should have a more definite understanding, don't you think?
Yeah, well, let's draw up a contract.
Yeah.
And sit down.
Yeah? Let's make it strictly legal.
Oh, it'll be so legal, Bergen. It'll be so legal. There'll even be a place for the minks to sign.
Oh, I like it. Well, now, just how will this contract read?
Well, you'll be the minkor,
yeah.
And we will be the minkie.
Yeah. Be have it ready as quick as a winky.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Quiet, Stinky.
Yeah, all right. That's right. Now, you know, the party of the first part and the party of the second part agrees to, ipso facto, habeas corpus, and status quo. And choice of two desserts.
I see. All right.
Now we need a witness.
Oh, yes, a witness. Let's see. We must have a disintegrated party. I know just a guy, Mortimer Snurd.
Good.
Hey, Morty.
What do you want, George?
Mortimer. Mortimer.
Wilbur, come here. We want you to witness a contract. There he goes.
Well, what do you want me, Mom?
We just want you to sign your name.
Yeah.
Just put your X right here.
How do you spell X?
I don't think you know what we're talking about.
Well, I guess I'm a little hard of thinking.
Well, wait a minute. Let me try to explain, Mr. Bergen. You see, Mortimer.
No, I don't see you. No.
Well, Charlie and I are going to raise mink coats.
Oh, what for?
For mink fur.
Oh. Well, why don't you try raising a porcupine fur?
Porcupine fur isn't good for anything.
Well, it has its good points. I think I know another one.
Maybe you better save it.
Yeah, it's too good. Yeah.
All right, Mar, will you stop wasting our time now? Just sign this contract.
Well, I don't know.
Well, why? Why? What have you got to lose?
All right. If I'm swindled, I can always claim insanity.